let's take a deep dive into Scripture with Father John Wargel and Danny Gallagher. During each episode, we'll be sharing our insights about the Bible passages presented on a related post on Father John's website, AncientHopes.org. To find the post we're discussing, go to the AncientHopes.org website and search for the title of this podcast using the search box on that page. Our discussions on this show will follow the posts listed on the AncientHopes.org website. Here are your hosts for our deep dive into Scripture today, Father John and Danny. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another Deep Dive into Scripture podcast and radio show. I'm Danny Gallagher, and I'm in the studio today with Father John Wargel. Welcome back, Father John. Great to see you.
Well, the last time I saw you, you were walking to Home Depot.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yes. Who do you, you know, you don't know. You expect to see anybody at Home Depot. What were you doing that day? Well, I guess we shouldn't talk about that, but anyway.
Well, we both have our projects, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's for sure. Yes. To me, it's so much of it is about the garden these days and trying to get the weeds out and mulch down and plants in and flowering. I have a nice pollinator, like perennial garden that I'm always working.
Yeah. I'm trying to get mine to always work.
Yeah. It's hard. It's hard, just like Moses.
It's just like Moses. Right.
So we're going to continue the story of Moses in Exodus chapter 2. We're talking about chapter 2 and sort of the story of the beginning of Moses.
Yeah. You know, we talked about Moses as a cosmic man last week, right?
Yeah.
And today we have his beginnings, right?
Yeah.
And we see that it takes a while to grow into the cosmic man because just like everyone else, Moses has to grow, right?
Yep, sure.
Yeah, so
he's kind of immature, just like everybody else, doesn't really know himself yet.
Of course.
You know, it just, all of this stuff reminds me so much of Joseph and all of his brothers.
Right.
You know, all of these things about Moses are kind of, there's similarities all throughout the story.
Right.
And this reminds me kind of Judah a little bit.
Well, everybody grows through the same stages.
Yes.
Right? And so that's why there's so much similarity. But on the other hand, everyone's unique, right?
Yeah, everyone's unique. And the other thing that it sort of touches me a little bit is that he's sort of a model of all men, you know, all people kind of, because I'm the same way. You know, I grew up, I had to go through all those stupid, immature things that I did when I was young and I didn't kill anyone, but
you know, we blush to think of them, don't we?
Oh yeah,
right.
Sure do.
Yeah. Right. And actually the text says 7 times refers to Moses as a yeled in the Hebrew, which means he's young, which means he's vulnerable. It means I'm trying to find a kind word here.
Just immature.
Immature is a very good one, right? And so the text emphasizes that whole thing, right? The princess draws him out of the water.
Yep.
And we talked a little bit about that. He has his name, Moshe, which is probably a derivative from an Egyptian word, which means
son.
Yeah. Mose, okay. But she most probably didn't have the Hebrew Moshe in mind because she would not even have known Hebrew or cared about that at all, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, he just like parallelism, just like she drew him out of the basket, out of the Nile, he's going to draw his people out of the Red Sea into salvation. See, so there's sort of little prophetic hints here that the text invites you to enter into, right?
It also invites you to consider, and this is, again, you know, I've read this 100 times, never thought about this before till I read your post, and it invites you to think about who wrote the story, you know, who is passing this on orally, and it was a Hebrew person, you know? And so they probably put some words in her mouth a little bit, modified the story a little bit, I think, you know, just to make it more interesting or whatever.
Right, but we always realize it's divinely guided by God.
Sure,
okay?
Of course.
And through his people, again, so much was passed down in oral tradition.
Yeah.
But God was in this oral tradition, right?
Sure, yeah.
And we have to trust that. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But here, let's talk a little bit more about his growing up, okay? Because
okay,
yeah. He says he did grow up into a young man. Okay, so you have yeled or na'ar are two words that are used in Hebrew for a young boy growing up, basically. And then the boy goes into what's called the gibor or giborim, okay, the warrior thing, right?
Oh, mm-hmm.
And so we see him acting out as you expect a warrior to do, okay?
Yeah.
And young people, they're young, they're strong, they don't have any experience, you know,
they're
driven by their passions and so on and so forth. And really, we talked a little bit last week about Moses being kind of symbolic of that spirit within each one of us.
Yes, the intellect, yeah.
Yeah, right. Well, that hasn't developed in Moses yet, right?
Sure.
And it has to develop. So you see injustice, and so you want to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
But he becomes unjust, okay, because he kills somebody for whipping another man.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so murder.
He overdoes it, yeah.
Well, yeah, it's just murder. So he really is a criminal, okay? There's this Latin phrase, lex talionis, an eye for an eye. This is going to come right out of Mosaic law, right?
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't an eye for an eye.
Right.
Right? So he becomes a killer and he becomes unjust, right?
Yep.
So there you have it.
And then Pharaoh hears about it and gets mad and says...
Well, yeah, I mean, this is something you just don't do. And even though he's in the court and what have you, it doesn't mean that he's completely, I mean, if he would have killed a Hebrew slave, it would have been nothing, right?
Right, yeah. Like
one of the probably top men or taskmasters building his, big shrines and whatever, you know what I mean? And he's got to do something about that, right? So anyways, he's on the run now, okay? So, there we have it. Even his own brethren don't really trust him anymore.
Right.
And, all of us, when we grow into that manhood, there's another stage after that, okay? Maybe you might call it the chokmah, the wisdom stage, where you get married, you settle down, you realize, hey, all of a sudden I'm responsible.
Yes.
And you just learn that you don't know.
Uh-huh.
Throughout that stage of parenting, thinking you knew everything about everything until you realize, hey, my parents weren't that dumb after
that's
all,
right.
And
hey, I don't know anything about anything. That's
a good thing, And then finally, the last stage is the zakein, okay, the elder. You can always remember Zakein because the old man needs Zakein.
Oh.
Okay?
Yeah.
These mnemonics help you remember your Hebrew
that's
words,
good.
Right?
That's good, yeah.
Yeah. So you can't expect a giborim or a gibor or a soldier to be a Zakein.
Yes.
They don't exist, okay? It just doesn't really work that way,
Their mind hasn't gotten there.
Yeah, because you can't expect that to happen, or you can't even expect the gibor to really, without having, getting married and working through all the relational things, the complexities of relationships, of growing and stuff like that.
Those life experiences.
You don't expect too much wisdom from one either, right?
Sure.
And so what does he do? He reaches out in his own strength to do what he thinks God wants him to do. Somehow, deep inside of him, God put this desire because he identified with the Hebrews, which again is like a really big thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to ask yourself the question, if I was a prince of Egypt, what would I do? Identify with this motley crew of muddy slaves or the bright, shiny, marbled halls of Karnak.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to be put to that test, as a young person, really,
right.
So it did show something about that in him.
Right. So the, my question is how did that happen other than God? That had to be some internal action of God in his being.
Right.
To move him from his whole life growing up to suddenly find himself, you know, having a connection,
right,
to, a deep connection to this Hebrew slave.
Yeah. And so you can see that God touched him early, but you know, when God touches people, like go back to Joseph. He touched Joseph, right, with his dreams, and he was in no way, shape, or form to, he hasn't gone through the stages, you know?
Yeah.
But when he goes through the stages, then he's able to deliver his family. Okay, when Moses goes through his stages, he's able to deliver. Okay, but when they're young, you know, youthful dreams, I'm going to, and a lot of people, unfortunately, start out young, you know, like in their late teens or whatever, or in teenagers, I'm really on fire for God type thing, you know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, you try to do things in your own power, and after a while, you start falling and tripping over yourself, and some people just never recover from that,
right,
really,
yeah,
you know?
They don't have a good experience of that, and so that moves them away from God.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah, I mean, but all of us have to go through that.
Yeah.
You know, and how we go through it determines our destiny, really, when you get down to it.
Sure, because there's, as usual, two ways to go. You know, you can sort of fall and say, well, this is a dumb idea. I'm moving out of this. You know, I'm not going to do this anymore. Or you can say, I have a need here, you know, that I need to follow.
And it's humbly, you know, move on to the next step, making sure that, you know, as a Catholic, you're living the sacramental life, which can support and prop you up, because we all need supports and props, right?
Sure.
And Catholicism, by definition, is a great support for the soul.
You're listening to the Deep Dive into Scripture radio show and podcast with your hosts, Father John Wardle and Danny Gallagher. The text that we're discussing can be found on the AncientHopes.org website. Then use the search box to find the post with the same title as this podcast. Let's get back to our show with Father John and Danny.
And it's humbly, you know, move on to the next step, making sure that, you know, as a Catholic, you're living the sacramental life, which can support and prop you up, because we all need supports and props, right?
Sure.
And Catholicism, by definition, is a great support for the soul, with liturgy and with all the disciplines that we have at the church to support you, if we take advantage of that, right?
Right, sure.
Yeah. Okay, so he's got a lot to learn, but, you know, you really can't expect much from anybody at this age, you know, with regard to doing something great. You have to grow into greatness, okay? It just happens that way.
Yeah.
I mean,
can't get there any other way.
Yeah. Okay, so we're employing allegory. We talked about that last week, and I want to say a little about this right now, okay?
Sure.
More about this. But how do we read these scriptures?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a scholar named James Kugel, which he wrote a book on the Bible as it was. I love it. Okay. He is helping us, because we've been looking at scripture so much as a Western person, you know, just in the historical, grammatical. And I talked about a little bit a couple times ago, podcasts ago, when we were bringing Genesis to a conclusion, you know, how do we read the scriptures, the narrative, you know, and
yes,
and so we're really taking an Eastern way of looking at things, reoriented our orbs in our head. Okay, it's really, really hard. Okay, but the first thing that James Kugel said was that the Bible is a fundamentally cryptic book.
Yeah.
Now, that may not be hard for a Catholic to grasp, but it's almost impossible for a Protestant mind to grasp.
Hmm.
Okay, because for a Protestant, it's sola scriptura. That's our only authority. And if it's your only authority, it's got to be clear.
Yes.
And so there's this word, I think I've used it before in many, many, many podcasts before. Perspicuity of scripture.
Okay.
That means the scripture is fundamentally clear.
Okay.
It's not. And of course, the living proof of that is that How many denominations do we have of Protestants who are bickering over the scripture? If it's all that clear, then there'd be no problem.
Right. Each one of them thinks it's clear.
Yeah, right.
To them.
So, but the Protestants, for their very lives, could not agree that there's an authority that we have in the church, as we see in Timothy, where the church is the pillar and foundation of truth. And so the Protestants, they just assume that the church doesn't really have the ultimate authority, because if it does, what church? And then you have to go back in history and time and see that it really is the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
Right?
The church that has been here the whole time,
right. And of course, they say, well, the church got corrupt and so on and so forth. But what that does is it leaves them without authority.
Yes, right.
Okay, it leaves them without authority. And you can't really, with a good mind, I think, and a real honesty, really say that the scriptures are all that clear.
Mm-hmm.
The ancients assumed they weren't. And again, Origen, what did Origen say? Of course, the Protestants don't like Origen because he, talks about allegory. But he was a great man. He really was. It takes the same inspiration of the Holy Spirit to read the scriptures as it took for God to inspire them in the first place.
Right, sure.
Okay, because it's not an easy thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so.
Protestants are all of my fundamentalist friends.
Right.
Over the years. They would say that the scriptures are clear, and so I can just read them with a sort of a simplicity of thought,
right?
Because what I'm reading is exactly what was meant,
right?
So uh-huh. they're able to come to that conclusion pretty quickly, where we believe as Catholics, or even anyone who believes in the story side or the allegory side, looks at it from a different perspective and finds that there's a deeper meaning here.
Exactly what's happening in these podcasts, because the text says one thing on the surface, right?
Yes.
But its deeper meaning yields itself to the holy and to the wise.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
That's just the assumption of reading of the ancients.
Mm.
Okay. Yeah. The second thing is that the Bible is a great book of instruction that makes demands on the reader.
Right.
Okay.
Meaning that you can't just read it and let it go. You have
right.
to read it, pray it through, think about it for a long time, find and go deeper.
Right. And yeah. so therefore it's very different from other literature.
Sure, yeah.
Right. Okay. So, reading literature is work, okay, but not the same way.
No,
okay.
Right, for sure.
Because it makes demands on you. That means you, Danny, you, Father John, you need to take note and to change. It
right.
makes demands on your soul.
Yes. Okay.
Right?
Yeah, not just, I get it, not just time demands to spend the time, but to see yourself as a part of the changing or the evolution of what's happening here in the story.
You know? Exactly. Right. Okay. So the third thing is the Bible is perfect and perfectly harmonious, okay? They all assume that.
Yeah.
Now, let me make a proviso about that, because when you look at Scripture and real deeply in a textual, critical way, and that's a good thing. I mean, so much of good has happened over the last 200 to 300 years of text analysis, okay? So obviously that not all texts that we have really are perfect in the sense that there are no mistakes, okay?
Sure. Yeah.
So it's not understood in that way, right?
Okay.
But its content is perfect, okay? It's kind of like Jesus. If you would have seen Jesus walking around, like a lot of people did, and like a lot of his antagonists did. They said, well, he's just a man, okay? He's human, okay? He's got
yes.
warts and so on and so forth, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay. And yet he was the perfection of God within, okay? It's that paradox of the incarnation. The same kind of paradox is with Scripture. It's very human because it's written by humans, right?
Right, of course.
And the texts are sometimes very difficult. There's some text, I'll tell you, Danny, that are so hard, okay? And part of that's just corruption of the text. We don't really know what was originally said, okay?
Yeah, sure.
So, but the ancients would even look at some of that as saying, well, that's even God-inspired, okay? And so the problem, if you have any problem with text, the problem's not with the text, the problem's with you. Okay.
Yeah, I really like that idea that that it's never the text that's got the issues or the conflict,
right,
or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's always about me. And then I need to go deeper.
Yeah,
you know, I need to think about it more.
Yeah.
Look at it from another direction.
So it takes a lot of humility, right? Okay. And then finally, as I mentioned before, the Bible is divinely inspired, and the same inspiration that inspires us to be able to read it. And this is true even though it's given through fallible men, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Moses. And God knows all the different stories and whatever that came down to him, okay? Or in laws, you know?
Yeah.
And then whoever, and we know Moses didn't put it all together, the Pentateuch, right? I mean, he certainly didn't write the story of his death.
Right,
and,
okay.
At the end of Deuteronomy, right?
Right.
You know, and there's just a lot of indications throughout that it came together centuries after Moses, right?
Yeah.
But that God had orchestrated the Holy Scriptures through nameless people.
Yes.
And this trajectory from Moses of a core of inspiration that he's given him, that God gave us, you know, in the law and what he put together, it's just built on. Okay.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Cardinal Newman and his argument for how the doctrines have developed in the Catholic Church.
Okay.
And so Protestants say, well, that's not doctrine, it's not in the scripture, you know, blah, blah, blah,
right,
blah, blah.
Right.
But what he's showing, and it's true, that that whatever doctrines the Catholic Church has today, like the Marian doctrines and so on and so forth, they all develop from core biblical ideas, and they develop over time. And that the Holy Spirit is the one that guides this whole thing.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And over time, the things that are not right just gets discarded along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
Right. So the process sometimes is very, what's the word, messy. But still with the Bible, this is how they fundamentally understood the Bible.
Sure, that's God has inspired this, and it all comes from God through
right.
humanity, through humans.
Right. And so that's the difference between, you know, the way the Catholics think as opposed to the way the Protestants think about Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
It is so much more truthful. When you really get down to it, it's not trying to defend an idea that just is unsustainable.
Yeah,
that is,
sure.
We are our own authorities, really, when we get down to it, because, you know, when I read scripture, it's clear, and this is the way I read it. And ultimately, it falls into gross individualism and more and more breakups in the church and
sure.
so on and so
if
forth.
If there's no authority to say,
yeah.
Nope, you're thinking about that a little bit incorrectly. Here's what the church says about that.
Right. And if you really look and see, the church doesn't make a whole lot of fundamental statements saying this passage has to be understood this way.
Right.
It really doesn't. Okay. Mm-hmm. What the Catholic Church provides is a whole ethos that is scriptural, right?
Yeah, sure.
And you enter into that spirit, right? The humble spirit of reading with the church fathers, reading with the church. Remember, that's what, and I'll close on this because I know it's going to be kind of late.
Yeah,
okay,
but and
this is so important. What St. Ambrose says: he who picks up sacred scripture in faith and reads it with the church.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's important. Reads it with the church. Walks again. With God in the garden.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
So,
yeah. Great. Well, it's a good way to end it, and it's a good way to think about how we're going to look at all of these stories in Scripture as we go along.
Right.
You know, always this way.
Very important.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. Thanks so much for coming in.
You're welcome.
See you next time on Deep Dive into Scripture.
Thanks for listening. The Deep Dive into Scripture podcast theme music is Epic Trailer by Scott Holmes, sourced from scottholmesmusic.com using a Creative Commons license. Please go to ancienthopes.org and the Books of the Bible links on that page for related posts from Father John. You can find more episodes of this show on the WSJF podcast server or on the Apple or Spotify podcast services. See you next time when we take another deep dive into Scripture. Don't forget this week to open that Bible and dive right in.